Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
I want you to stand with me. Open up your word, if you can, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4. I want you to get your Bibles in your hands. If you have a Bible in your phone, open it. We're going to read Romans 4. Or you can wait for it to pop on the screen. Romans chapter 4. Anybody hungry for God? Anybody hungry to see what God can do in their lives? Come on. Is anybody hungry to see what God can do in their lives? Amen. God is about to do something supernatural. I think the biggest thing I wanted you guys to remember is that God does not want us to worry about money. That He will make a way out of no way. Come on, if you trust Him, if you believe in Him, He will make a way for you. Amen. And I think God wants us to graduate in our thinking, in our intellect. And I said, don't waste your faith on money. God wants you to use your faith on other things, and He promises to take care of you financially. You know what? I said Romans 4. Go to Matthew 6. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 6. Thank you, worship team. Let's give a worship team a round of applause. Matthew 6. If you can turn with me really quick to verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is Bible term for money. And look at what the Bible says, that you cannot serve God and money. That He put Jesus put God and money in the same breath and conversation. This is very important. And He says, notice, you cannot be loyal to one and you cannot be loyal to both of them. So your loyalty can never lie in the amount of money you make. Your identity cannot be wrapped up on how much money you have. You cannot build your life and believe that you're a man or you're a woman because of how much money you have or don't have. The Bible says you cannot serve God and money, which means that our loyalty cannot be to money. It must be to God. There's another verse that many of us are familiar with. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. I'll read it for you. Some of you guys memorize this. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge who? Him, and He will make straight your paths. Woo! I love that, right? Now watch this. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, Paul tells us later on in 1 Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil. So when the Bible says, go back. When the Bible says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. And if the love of money is the root of all evil, in order for me to depart from evil, the first thing I can't be wise about is being wise in my own eyes about money. I don't know if you caught that. I can't be wise in my own eyes about my money and about how money is supposed to be used. The Bible says, no, we're supposed to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why? The next verse tells us why. If you do this, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. If we remember to acknowledge Him and be loyal to Him over money, will give us health. You know how many people's health is failing them because they're stressed out about bills and money? Come on. High blood pressure, stress, cancers even forming in people's bodies. The Bible says you got to break that stuff off of you. You cannot worry about money. If you don't, and if you put your trust in him, he will be health to your flesh, and he will strengthen your bones. And the next verse, what else? Honor God with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. What is he talking about there? He's talking about your money. Honor him. This is how you depart from evil. Honor God with your money and with the first fruits of everything you get. We'll talk about that later. Verse 10. So that your barns will be filled with plenty. How many people got barns in here? I don't have a barn. With a barn, it was a storehouse. A storehouse or a bank account. Okay? How many of you got bank accounts in here? So if you don't have a bank account, you can't fill it. So you got to get a bank account if you don't have one yet. All right? Say, I don't got any money to put it in. Open one. Get $10. So some banks do $10, right? That's all you need. But get a bank account. The Bible says if you honor the Lord with your finances, you're not only will he bring health to your body, but your accounts will be filled with plenty. Come on, this is a promise from God. God promises that you will have more than enough. He promises that you will have more than enough. Say, I want more than enough. Okay, so now, one thing is as believers, we have to make sure we're not wise in our own eyes, right? Come on, right? God said, don't be wise in your own eyes. Now, if God wants you to have plenty, it will be rebellious and disobedient of me to say, I don't want plenty. If God wants me to have abundance, I cannot go back and say, God, I don't want abundance. I just want enough for me and my family. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Come on, God was positioning you so that you can have plenty in this life. Say, I receive it. See, the scriptures, the Bible, some people say there are over 3,000 promises in the Bible. 3,000. I think the church probably only really pursues one. And that's going to heaven, eternal life. That's the only promise that most Christians is just, that's what we're after. But there are over 3,000 promises in the Bible. And one of those promises is prosperity. So, I'm not going to be wise in my own eyes about money. I want to do things God's way so that I can experience God's favor on my life financially. Anybody else? Amen. All right, quickly, take your seats. So, here's what we're going to do. God already started to work. Some of you guys have sown last week. You saw a hundredfold return. Some of you saw more than that on your return. And if you sowed, I want you to remember, how many of you sowed last week when I said to sow? It's very important that you did that. Because God wants to, because I can talk to you about some of the practical stuff about money, which is cool, and we're going to get to that because we need basic financial skills on our repertoire and in our arsenal, and we need to know how to manage money. But I really believe that God is in this season trying to motivate us to come back to a place where we truly believe in supernatural resources and supernatural funding. That we're at a place where we have to realize God is so adamant about seeing his people blessed, and God's pleasure is in seeing you blessed, that God wants to position us in an accelerated fashion to a place where we can truly come and receive the blessing that he says we can have. Proverbs 35, verse 27 tells us that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Or God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God gets pleasure out of blessing you. God gets pleasure out of prospering you. But the Bible also lets us know there's a thief that comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? So, the enemy wants to rob God out of the pleasure of blessing you and prospering you. And if we allow, we cannot allow the enemy to do that. The Bible tells us we need to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So it also lets us know that there will be a fight in regards to your prosperity and your blessing. Okay, this is what I talk about. So many Christians are too nice. Okay, we just want to sit back and allow everything to come our way. And there are some things you have to go and possess and get. You got to fight for it, right? According to the Bible, it was David who ran to Goliath. He ran to fight Goliath. What if there's some Goliaths that you already have an authority and an anointing to take down that you are actually hoping God will do, and God is saying, no, I actually want you to go and do it. I want you to face some giants. I want you to take down some. I want you to scale some mountains. Come on. Because we don't really know what we can do until we are put into tight spots. Right? I was always that kid who waited until the last minute to do papers. And then the day before, I'm up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning getting the paper done that I had a month to do. But I used to say my best work came out of me when I had no other choice. Crunch time, right? So I would put myself in these positions. Now that's not a way to do it. All right? I had to learn that worked in like school and elementary school and junior high school and high school, but they didn't work well in college. Because the workload intensified, right? But yes. But my point is, the Lord began to talk to me about money, he began to question me, because I was at a place in my life where I was comfortable with where I was. And as far back as I can remember, in regards to money, my goal in life was to always have just enough. I used to remember praying that and telling God, God, I don't want to be too rich. I just want to have enough for me, my family. I want to be able to have enough just to, you know, bless some people here and there, but I don't want to have a lot. And I thought that I was being humble. I thought I was being a good Christian. I didn't want to be greedy. So I didn't really want too much. But when the Lord began to convict me and rebuke me, he said, you are selfish. God began to tell me I'm selfish. I'm saying, God, why? How can I be selfish? I always give. I'm a giver. I love to give. A day doesn't go by when I'm on a train where I don't give to somebody on a train. I'm always blessing people. The Lord says, no, because you only want enough for you and your immediate family. But if when I bless you, God says, I want you to know that you are blessed to be a blessing. Right? You see, so until you understand the purpose of a blessing, you will waste a blessing. When God blessed Abraham, who is the father of faith, the father of our faith, and the Bible says we are the offspring of Abraham. The same blessing that was on Abraham is on us. And one of the things that we see in Abraham is that Abraham was wealthy. Abraham was prosperous. But when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 2, the Bible says that God told Abraham, I will bless you I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. All in the same sentence. When God blesses you, he not only blesses you for you, but he blesses you for so that you can be a blessing. If I only seek to take a blessing from God and spend it on myself, I've forfeited the purpose of the blessing. Because it's not supposed to ever end with me. Any blessing you get from God is never supposed to end with you. It's not about you. It's about the people that God wants you to reach with the blessing that he's put on you and he's given to you. So I had to learn how to get out of that selfish mindset where I only saw what I had from God to be used for me. No, it's not about me. Come on. God wants you to realize that what he wants to give you is not for you. It doesn't matter how much you have. You remember the story last week with the widow? She had a little jar of flour and a jar of oil. And the little that she had, she was getting ready to spend it on herself. God sent the prophet and said, no, have her give you some first. Why? Because that was what was going to activate the blessing in her life. Although she only had a little bit, it was enough to activate a miracle in her life. I'm going to offend some people in this series because what I'm going to be coming after is the deep-rooted poverty spirit that holds us back from reaching our full potential in God. When you realize that poverty is not just about money, it's about an identity, it's about a self-image, it's about your purpose, it's about the devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has sent you on this earth to do. And I said, poverty is more than money. Because the first thing a poverty spirit comes to do is not to take away money from you. The first assignment poverty comes to do in your life is to strip vision from you. You know what the Bible says? Without a vision, the people what? Perish. But with a vision, people can prosper. People perish without a vision. People have no vision. They have no sight. They have no ability to see themselves any better than where they are in their lives. They believe that their current limitations is as far as they can go in life. They don't believe that they can achieve more. They don't believe they can accomplish more. They don't believe that they can succeed in life. They feel like they got to be stuck in the same place that they're in. Why? Because the poverty, the enemy spirit called poverty, strips you of the vision or the capacity to see more than where you are right now. So when I tell you, you can be rich, and you're saying, well, I don't know how I'm going to do it, that's the spirit of poverty trying to talk you into staying where you are right now. I want you to write this down. There are five different economic groups in this country and in the world. Five different economic groups. There's the very poor. There's the poor. There's the middle class. There's the rich. And there's the very rich. I'll say it again. There's the very poor, there's the poor. There's the middle class, there's the rich, and there's the very rich. Can I teach for a little while? Okay. Five different economic groups. And how you break and how you divide those five groups, if we're talking about numbers first, those who are considered very poor in America are those who make anywhere between $0 to $10,000 a year. $0 to $10,000 a year. That's very poor. That's those who are like vagrants, homeless, beggars, who have little temp jobs where they can make a few bucks a week or a month. Then there's the poor. The poor are those who make anywhere between $10,000 to $25,000 a year. you're considered poor. Then there's the middle class. The middle class makes anywhere between $25,000 to $100,000 a year. Then there's the rich. The rich make anywhere between $100,000 to $1 million a year. Yes. Yeah. Hey, preacher. She's hearing this right now because she knows where she's going to be rich. And then the very rich are $1 million and beyond. Okay? That's what the five categories are. But you can identify where you are right now, etc., in that framework. But the biggest thing that I want you to know is not just about the money. It's about how, in each of those economic groups, people think. Because you realize that the very poor don't think like those who are the very rich. They don't have the same conversations at the table. Okay? There's a different conversation, there's a different way of thinking, there's a different perspective, a different paradigm in each and every one of those categories, right? So the very poor think from day to day because they're thinking survival, right? All they know is lack, scarcity. I don't even know where I'm going to make, how I'm going to make ends meet. Very poor think day to day. The poor think week to week. The middle class think month to month. The rich think year to year. And the very rich think decade to decade. Very poor day to day. Poor week to week. You live paycheck to paycheck. Those who are middle class, month to month, worry about their monthly bills and expenses, mortgage, rent, car payments, all the other things that we have to take care of month to month. The rich have learned how to not just think only from the month-to-month standpoint, but they've learned how to get money to work for them. And they understand basic investing principles. So now they move beyond just exchanging time for money, but they also begin to figure out ways to get money to work for them. Right? And so you enter into this realm where you're rich, and then you go from rich to very rich, where then you got business plans that go into the 5-year, 10-year mark, 20-year mark. You got plans that go even 50 years into the future. You have businesses, and you have so much things going on for yourself where money is being generated, and you already have generational wealth to pass down to your children and your children's children. Now, then the Bible says that a just man or a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Now, if I'm thinking day to day and week to week and month to month, I'm not thinking generational, am I? I'm only thinking about my needs and my expenses and what I need to take care of right now. And you know, the devil wants you to stay right there in that mindset. Do you know there's one misconception that we have? We think that everybody needs to be rich and have millions and millions of dollars. If we all become millionaires, that's awesome. But you can have $1 million today, and if you die tomorrow, lose it all if you have not learned how to invest it wisely. And then your kids don't have it because the government will take it. Have you ever realized, Google, how many, you know, they always put out the reports of the top millionaires and billionaires in the world, and Forbes and all this stuff. Google how many of them got their millions from the lottery. But they, if somebody wins a lottery and they made $500 million, $300 million, why are they not immediately listed as one of the top millionaires in the country? Because give them a few years. Let's give them a few years. Do you know the Bible says that if a person makes money too quickly, they'll be departed from it? Do you know that? That's in the Bible? Okay? So, It's important that you understand where you are and understand that God has plans to take you from where you are and raise you up to a new level. Paul told us in another passage of scripture, he said, think on these things which are above. Think on these things which are above. That's not only talking about the things that's in heaven. He's basically saying, see, I need you to get to a point where you start thinking about a lifestyle that's above you, because the only way you're going to be able to reach that new level is that you have to start thinking on that level. So think on things above. Why? Because if you set your mind there, you'll begin to actually get there. You can't enter into new realms if you don't think there or live there before you get there. Come on. So you have to be exposed to people and places that are bigger and larger than you, so that you can stretch your thinking, you can stretch your imagination, begin to think on things above you, because one day, if you think that way, you can actually get there. Hallelujah. You can't always think on the same level, be around people thinking on the same level all the time, because you ain't going nowhere if you do that. I'm telling you. One of the things that you need to begin to do to stretch yourself, to move from a state of poverty to a state of prosperity, is to start acting like you are more rich than you are. Act like you're richer. I didn't say spend like you're richer than you are. Act like you're richer than you are. Why? Because I meet people who go to restaurants, they'll sit down at Applebee's or Ruby Tuesdays, wherever they are. They'll pay for their meal, but then they won't want to tip. Because they say, well, I don't have enough. This is for me. No, no, no. If you are blessing, right? If you're blessed, we say I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. If you are blessed, then you need to do things that blessed people do. So something as practical as tipping causes you to say, I'm bigger than where I am. I can help this person. She's serving me, and he's serving me. I'm going to bless them. Act like you're bigger than you are. Tip. You start going to, test drive a car. If you don't have the money for it, go. They don't know how much money you got. What is it gonna hurt? They offer test drives. You go in there confident. Why? Because hey, God can give you the money if you wanted it. Can he? I remember I went to Saks. This is years ago. I went to Saks Fifth Avenue. Not the off Saks, the real Saks. I go to off Saks right now because I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I go to all Saks right now. But I remember going to Saks one day, the one in Canal Street, and I was looking for a suit. And I saw the suits, they had the $200 ones and the $400 ones. And then I saw there was a special section for suits. This is the ones that you didn't even see the prices on it. That's how you know. You just got to either you have the money or you don't. All right? So then I'm like, you know what? I knew I wasn't ready to buy this one yet. I was looking for it, but I said, let me go in and try on one of these $10,000 suits, $5,000, however, whatever it was. So I went in there and I said, you know, first of all, they looked at me. They didn't expect me to go in there. So they were kind of pointing me to the other section. I said, no, I want to see those suits over there. I said, I have a very important meeting this weekend. So guess what? Once they realized I was thinking about buying one of those suits, guess what happened? Their whole composure changed. They took out stuff and asked me if I want something to drink. They were going to feed me. I got free water. I got free sparkling water. I got free crackers. all because they thought I was going to buy one of their fancy suits. But I did that, and when I tried it on, and I felt the difference of the Italian silk hand-stitched on my skin, I felt different. It put me in a different state of mind. You know what it did to me? It said, why can't I wear this if I wanted to? Why can't I buy this if I wanted to? And it that one moment stretched me. It literally, it made me think differently. Because what I was excluding myself from and saying that I can't afford, I can't be this. No. I put myself in that suit. And it put me in a different frame of mind. I think on these things which are above. It's not about, again, it's not about the money. It's about you breaking free from a box, from a ceiling or limitation that is set over your life that you don't even, it's invisible. But it's the very principle, it's the very reason why you can exclude yourself. There's some people who don't leave from their borough to go to Manhattan because they feel like that's not for them. That's not a place for them. I know people who've never left Harlem because they don't believe they can go to Manhattan. It's too expensive for them. Midtown Manhattan. Come on, this is truth. So one of the things you got to learn to do, I'm telling you, is you got to learn how to act like you have. Don't say you don't have money. Don't ever walk around and say, I don't got it. If you don't got it, don't mention it. I'm telling you, don't ever let people know you don't have money. Look like you got money. Talk like you got money. Tell them, if I wanted to buy it, I'll buy it. Even if you got $2 in your account. What you want to do is you want to keep your mind in a place where you are always in a state of expectation and you always are conscious of the fact that you are a blessing no matter where you go. I love this the account when Peter and I think it was Peter and James or Peter and John came out of the temple and there was a man who was begging. There was a man begging for money. And Peter and them walked out the temple and the guy was asking them for money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but that which I do have, I give to you. Now, if they were walking around saying, well, I don't got money, I can't help you, they would have never helped that man. But they were conscious of the abundance in their lives. What I actually do have is better than money. It's called the anointing. And so Peter looked at the man and said, get up. The Bible says that man got up, he got strength in his knees, he jumped up, and that man started walking. He was crippled, and when he was asking for money, Peter walked, looked past the money, saw his knees, and said, you need to walk. You're asking for money, you're asking for the wrong thing. But they had an abundance mindset. They didn't have a lack mindset. Some of us, we feel like, oh, we don't got enough money. We don't want to go nowhere. We don't want to talk to nobody. Come on. No. You still get up. You get out. You go out there. I'm telling you, I've seen sometimes you can be in the right place at the right time. But because you keep yourself home, because you feel like I don't got it, you miss out on opportunities that God might be sending your way. Come on. I'm going to give you a few more points. I wrote these down, and I want you to take it seriously. Things that you can do to get out of a poverty mindset right now. All right, so what was the first thing I said? Think on those things that are above. What else I said to do? What is it? Act like you got it. Come on, y'all don't believe that? I'm telling you, some of you need to go to Saxton this week, try out a new suit, more expensive than what you can afford. What else? Help those with less than you, right? Help those with less than you. It's important that you learn how to be a blessing to people who don't have as much as you. Because again, it puts you back into a mindset to say, hey, I'm more blessed than I think I am. Because there's always people in worse positions than you. Again, this widow was in a famine, in a crisis, and God got her to give. And that was the key or the door to her breakthrough and her deliverance. I don't know what number this is. I said change your language. Change your language. Never say you can't. Never say you can't. Never say you can't afford it. Never say you can't have it. Here's another thing. Never just say, I wish I could be rich. I wish I had that. What you need to begin to do is say, I choose. I choose to be rich, and I choose to have that. Because when you say, I wish, that's built on doubt. You still don't believe you can. When you say, I choose something, I choose to be rich, you're not building on belief. You're building on faith. Why? Because God says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. You're not wishing if you can live, are you? You have to choose to live. You're not wishing if you were saved. You have to choose to be saved. Come on, it's a choice, isn't it? It's the same thing with any blessing from God. You have to choose it. Do you choose wealth? Do you choose riches? Do you choose prosperity? Or are you going to choose middle class or poor? Or are you going to choose complacency? Or are you going to choose lack? It's a choice. And if, as long as you're wishing about going to these new places, you won't do it. You have to begin to choose. Amen? Your words set the direction of your life. Next one. Get into rooms where making money is the nature of the conversation. Get into rooms where making money is the nature of the conversation. Go to meetings, networking meetings. There's so much stuff going on right now. The city is amazing. They got these workshops, financial workshops that guys are putting on for free. And they invite you to come. Although they want to upsell you, they want to get you into another part of their program. But just go into the free course. They give you tons of information. Again, that stretch your thinking. If you've been thinking about, if you got dreams about real estate, if you got dreams about investing, if you got dreams about doing these things, get into rooms where people are actually talking about this stuff. And it's easier today to find out where these meetings are. And again, you might go in there with your tail between your legs. You might feel like you're out of place, but that's what you need because it's stretching you. Come on, you gotta break out of your comfort zone, right? And you need to allow these circumstances to stretch you. You gotta allow these places and these people to have conversations that cause you to think beyond where you are. Okay? Most of you are so blessed you don't even know it. You're just in the wrong place. You're just keeping yourself in small places, I'm telling you. I had a vision of some of you this week, as a matter of fact. I was praying. I think I told Shanique. God said, there's so many of us who have such large visions and big dreams, and God wants to do big things in our lives, but we're limiting ourselves by confining ourselves to being in the same small places that we're used to being. Some of you need to do is just step out of the boat and walk on water. Come on. Some of you, all you need to do is just show up in the right place where God says, I already favored you for this. All you got to do is show up. The people are waiting for you. The resources are waiting for you. Just go and do it. Start the paperwork. Just move. You don't need another word. God says, don't be doers of the word. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. That's what we're missing. More people just actually doing what God has called them to do. Two more things. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be grateful. Anybody say I'm thankful for where I am right now? Because it could be worse. always help you to stay grateful. It could be worse. I'm not going to stay long on that because that's a whole sermon. Talk with people who are ahead of you financially. Talk with people who are ahead of you financially. People that you know are good at money and are doing well with money. Talk to them. Talk to them. Ask them questions. And finally, sow consistently. sow consistently. What I mean, sow. Give consistently. Bless. I heard someone say, you know, Pastor, I would give and nothing seems to work for me. I give and I don't ever get any testimonies. Things don't happen for me. And, you know, there's so many different reasons why people give and nothing happens for them. But remember he said you can't be wise in your own eyes, right? I said, first of all, this person said to me, you know, but when I give, I don't even expect anything in return. I just want to give and be a blessing. I said, well, that's your problem right there. You're trying to be wise in your own eyes. Did not Jesus say, give and it shall be given back to you? Let me ask you this. Does a farmer sow in the ground without expecting a harvest? Does any logical farmer sow without anticipating something coming back from that? Okay. So to say I'm going to sow and you strip the seed of the expectation in your heart to see the manifestation of that, of the results of your sowing, then you're actually in disobedience to the law and principle of God's very own word. God wants you to sow expecting to receive a reward from your investment. So don't ever say, I'm sowing and I'm not expecting anything back. Although your motivation is, yes, you want to be a blessing, and yes, you want to just give, but God takes pleasure in rewarding you. Didn't the Bible say God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Come on, God takes pleasure in rewarding you for your faith. So when you do so, expect a harvest, amen? And if you have an inconsistent harvest, it's probably because you are an inconsistent sower. You gotta sow consistently to have a harvest consistently. Okay? He said he gives seed to the sower and bread for the eater. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's end there. And I'm telling you, your seed has the power to create any harvest you want. 2 Corinthians 9. Now watch this. The law of the seed is probably one of the most, I have a whole teaching on that, but it's one of the most important principles, let me tell you. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully, extravagantly, will also reap bountifully. So how I sow determines how I reap. Verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, he may abound, and you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely and he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And in verse 10, look at this. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of what? Now he's talking about money here. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food. And bread for food. Do you know God sees you as a sower? Look at somebody next to you and say, you're a sower, not a consumer. If you think consumer first, you're going to take your money and your seed and you're going to consume it. But what's the? You can do two things with a seed, right? You can eat it, and you can plant it, and you can sow it. This is the wisdom of God now. Amen? I'm wrapping up. Watch this. God supplies money for you to sow and bread for food. Meaning, when God blesses you, church, with money, the first thing he wants you to think about your money is, how can I sow this? And then after you sow it, he says, it's also bread for you to for you to eat now and enjoy. Okay? But the first thing he wants you to do is sow with it. Why? Because the power of the seed is because it's not in what it can do for you now, but it's for what it can do for you tomorrow. The power of the seed is about the future it creates for you. If I eat my seed now, I have nothing to reap tomorrow. But if I learn how to sow with what I have, God says, the one who supplies you seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase. Everybody say increase. Your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your right doing or your righteousness. See, we want to get the harvest. We want to get the increase. But this is how, where does it start? The sowing. Now, I know people have gone out there and they messed this thing up where they force people to give and they ring you by their feet and they take up 5 and 6 offerings and they try to drain your pockets and do all that stuff. We don't do that here. We take up 1 offering every week. Last week was special. We took up 2. That's the max. But my point is, if you want to get into the flow of the economy of God, you have to realize this is how God determines who he's going to increase, who he's going to favor, and who he's going to bless. Those who are going to take this law of seed and this principle of seed faith applied in their lives and are expecting a harvest. Say, I am expecting a harvest on what I sow. Come on. Say it again. I am expecting a harvest on what I sow. God, I don't know if I can say this. God does not operate from a welfare mindset. God does not operate from a welfare mindset. God will not allow you to do nothing for something. The government wants you to do nothing for something. Because that's how it keeps you in your place. I give you enough and you don't do anything else. Stay on poverty. Stay in poverty. Stay on welfare. Receive government assistance. Come on. If you're going to understand the laws of God and how to walk in wealth and walk in prosperity, God is taking you off of that stuff. If you're on that, God says you're getting free from it. You know why? Because that stuff ain't going to be around for much longer. Look at what Trump is doing. That stuff ain't going to be around much longer. You better learn how to rely on yourself and rely on God. God doesn't want you on government assistance. If you're there right now, glory to God. Thank God that you've been cool for now. But God is getting ready to take you off of it. Your job's going to listen. And this is what happens. Because we come to church, the blessing starts working. Then God starts, your supervisors start asking more from you. You start getting opportunities to do more work. And you're like, why is all this happening? Because God is trying to position you to get your way out of that stuff. Right? Your gifts shall make room for you and bring you before great men. God will take some of you off your job if you get too comfortable. See, I know I'm over my time. You see, there's something called, you know, you ever, I don't know if you guys know this. An eagle, when it's getting ready to teach its eaglet how to fly, the eagle will start breaking the nest that the eaglet is in. It will take the nice, comfortable hay that's around it, the cushion around it, take it out, and then it starts getting pricked by the sticks from the tree. So the eaglet is like, "Mom, why are you doing this?" The eagle said, "I'm getting ready to teach you how to fly." What was comfortable for you will not be comfortable for you any longer. At the same time, the eagle starts flying around the nest and starts flapping its wings. So you can watch and see. This is how you're flying, baby. This is how you fly. This is how you fly. And then you know what's next? The eagle takes the eaglet, drops it from the nest. And what it will do is it will fly underneath it and scoop it back up on its back and bring it back to the nest. And then go back and fly around it some more. To show you, this is what you're supposed to be doing. That's why when you first got saved, it seemed like everything just started, doors started opening for you. God, blessings after blessings kept coming. It seemed like everything was so nice and easy and rosy and dandy. And then now God starts putting some pressure on you. Say, no, now I'm going to teach you how to use the power that's within you. Come on, I'm able to do exceeding, abundantly, far beyond what you can ask or think, but it's now according to the power that's working where? In you. Come on, you got a power in you that God needs you to start tapping into. And the eagle will do it 3-4 times. It'll keep doing it, flap, fly, drop it, go back, catch it, pick it up. And then guess what? When the eagle knows that the eagle has had enough modeling and demonstration until it knows it's what it's supposed to be doing. There was one point when the eagle takes that eaglet for the final time and would let it fall. And if that eaglet does not start flapping its wing, that mother eagle will let it fall and die. This is in nature. Why? Because the eagle knows at some point you have to learn how to fly on your own. And either you're going to die from me dropping you, or you're going to die when that other bird comes and eats you up. But you got to learn how to do it. Hey, come on, Bianca got it. You got to learn it's time for you to soar. We got too many parrot Christians in the church. We got too many Christians who are used to being in cages. And all you know how to do is stay in one place for so long. You come to church, go home, you got the same problems, the same broke problems, the same poverty problems. You're complaining and you're whining. God says, nope, now it's time for you to learn how to grow up, how to mature, how to flap your wings, how to use the power that's working within you. Come on, who am I preaching to? Come on, this is the season of maturation. This is the season for growth. This is the season for expansion. It's the season for enlargement. It's the season for favor. It's the season for prosperity. It's the season of growth, of progress. Come on, and it's time for you to flap your wings. It's time for you to soar, to take leaps of faith, and begin to do what you thought you couldn't do before this moment. Come on, it's time for us to grow to new heights, new altitudes. Come on, new realms, new regions, new places. Come on, God says, I'm giving you vision, the vision of an eagle, where you can see above and beyond your circumstances, beyond where you once were. Come on, you're not looking up in the sky from the nest. God says, you're looking over the mountains. You're looking over the cliffs. Come on, I'm showing you that there is nothing impossible for you. There is nothing too hard for God to do. Come on, there is an anointing right now that God say, I'm breaking the poverty spirit off of you, and I'm giving you an eagle vision. I'm giving you an eagle vision. I'm giving you an eagle vision. No longer will you see obstacles, you will see opportunities. No longer will you see lack, you will begin to see prosperity.
around, says the Lord. Come on, come on, begin to rejoice right now. Come on, come on, stretch, 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 stretch. Come on, say, I'm getting my wings. I'm getting my wings. Come on, I'm not staying in this place next year. 2018 is coming, and I'm not staying in the same place where I was. Where I am today, in 1 year, I will see change. I will see growth. This is a year of success. This is a year of overflow. This is my year. Come on, not because I said it, but because you believe it. But because you receive it. Because you're grabbing a hold of it. Come on, come on.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.